Hi, I'm Mal Madras. I am an 8-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Today we are talking breast friends with co-founder and director of programs, Sharon Hennepin. How are you today, Sharon?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It was like, I think we talked back and forth via email and Facebook and whatever for, a couple weeks now, and I finally have you on.
We finally made it happen.
Yeah, so why don't we jump in and tell me a little bit about how you found out you were diagnosed. You were diagnosed in 1993.
Yeah, 22 years ago. Crazy, huh? I just turned 40, and I got this weird pain, and I kind of went, ow, and kind of poked around at it for a couple of days after I realized there was a little something there that shouldn't be there. And, of course, it didn't go away. So I went ahead and went to my doctor, and sure enough, I remember laying on that examination table, looking into his eyes and going, oh, I'm in deep trouble. You know, he was telling me, oh, it's going to be fine. You know, it's probably nothing. And I'm like, oh. So that was a Tuesday. The following Tuesday, I had a lumpectomy. Unfortunately, I didn't. They didn't have clean margins. So the following Tuesday, I had a complete mastectomy with reconstruction on that side.
That was pretty fast.
It was very fast. And what was interesting about it, my doctor had actually said from the time he felt it till the time he removed it, which was 7 days, he said he could tell it had actually grown in that short amount of time. So I was very, very thankful that it was fast. But at the same time, I'm glad he hadn't told that to me while it was still in
me. Exactly. By the way.
Yeah. And then I had 6 months of chemo. And finished my reconstruction after that.
6 months?
6 months, yeah.
Wow.
I had an old regime. We're talking 22 years ago, so it was an old regime. I'd had an infusion every 2 weeks for 6 months. And I had like a chemo pill that I took every day. So it wasn't like some of the big guns that they use today where, like, boom, you lose your hair, like, you know, within, like, 2 weeks.
2 weeks,
but,
yes.
I did lose it slowly but surely, and just kind of had that blah feeling all the time, but it wasn't like, really sick, which was good. But yeah, it's still very, very devastating. Again,
yes.
I had 3 young kids at home and trying to juggle a full-time job, and I ended up just saying, okay, I'm going to be off for a while.
And so how old were you?
Had just turned 40, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In 93?
93,
yeah. Wow. So that was pretty young even for then.
Yeah, it was. And again, everybody I knew who had been diagnosed before me was much, much older. And unfortunately, they had all died from it. So I didn't have really a lot of encouraging kind of role models to deal with. So it was a very scary thing. And of course, as women, we try to minimize what we're going through for everybody else. So it's interesting how we kind of deal with our own emotions that way.
So is that how you founded Breast Friends? I mean, did you go through, I know we were talking a little bit before the show about your book that you're working on, and we'll get to that. How long did it take you from your diagnosis to co-found Breast Friends? I mean, what led to that?
Like, well, a very good friend of mine that I worked with at the time was diagnosed like 3 years after I was. And I remember going through my cancer diagnosis, and it was just, it was awful, you know. And because I did choose to stay home and use my short-term disability, it was pretty lonesome during the day when the kids were at school, husband's at work, and you're just sitting around thinking about, you know, am I going to even be around to see the future? So when my girlfriend was diagnosed, I knew that would not be a good scenario for her. She's more social than I am even. And so we actually were taking an algebra class at Merrill Hurst University at the time, starting
on purpose?
Our degrees, yeah. Yeah, can you believe that? An algebra class. And
because you use that now, right?
Yeah, exactly. I use it every day. But it was one of the prerequisites. So our professor was amazing, and he allowed me to take the homework to her, and we got together, got through the two terms we needed to get through while she was on chemo and at home. And so I would bring her, you know, milkshakes on chemo days, and,
nice.
You know, just do little things, tell our work friends what was going on, and keep kind of her name and phone number and address and all that stuff in front of their faces so they didn't forget that she was, you know, out.
Right.
And so anyway, fast forward then a few more years, in 2000, she had a scare. And so I went to the doctors with her. We're sitting at lunch and we're chatting about, why do we stay friends all this time? Why did we both survive breast cancer? And certainly, what is missing in the whole breast cancer world? So over that lunch, we came up with the concept of Breast Friends, and came up with a name, and literally went to our offices and registered the name and registered the URL, and then called each other up and said, okay, now what? It's like, okay, we're going to start this nonprofit. We don't really know what we're doing. But
that's,
you know,
that's how most nonprofits start, and we want to help people get
exactly.
it, get your registered, get your name registered, get your attorney. And then you're like, and then
yeah,
now what?
Exactly. Get your board. So in the next year, we pretty much did all that. We came up with our materials. One of the things we really wanted to make sure was that, because when somebody's diagnosed, what happens is people will say, oh, I'm so sorry. Call me if you need something. And they mean it. But unfortunately, from the person who's been diagnosed, that's not helpful. It really isn't, because I'm going to say, oh, thank you. I will. And I won't. I won't actually call you. And
Or sometimes I actually had a friend of mine. I wasn't going through chemo, but I had a friend who was, I wasn't feeling well. She was like, oh, yeah, call me if you need anything. And I just wanted her to go to the grocery store to get me some soup. And she's like, yeah, I'm kind of busy right now. I'm like, dude, you just said
like, really?
Soup. I wasn't asking her to like, can you just give me like $1 million? Like, seriously, just
really?
Chicken broth. That's all I'm asking for. Throw it on the doorstep. I'll be good.
Yeah, so there's two lessons there. Number mm-hmm. one, don't say that.
Right.
But don't say it if you don't mean it first. And then if you really do want to help, you want to actually come up with an idea. Like, you know, I'd really love to run to the grocery store and pick you up a couple of things. I'm going anyway. So,
right.
you know, what's on your list? What can I get you? Instead of a yes or a no, like, can I help you or not, come up with an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, coming to go into the grocery store, or hey, I'm running over to the post office. Do you have anything that needs to be, you know, dropped off?
Right.
Or, you know, I'm going to be picking up Johnny anyway at soccer. Can I just bring Joey home too? You
mm-hmm.
know, or whatever.
Hopefully you have kids, but you know, hey.
Yeah, exactly. So I had three at the time, so I could have used some help with that.
Well, and the other thing is, I know that I was the same way when I was going through treatment. I was very proud, so I didn't want any help. And looking back now, I'm just like, you just got to suck it up and be like, if somebody wants, if some people want to help you, besides my one friend who didn't want to get me soup, people want to help. So if they say, I want to help you, I want to bring you food, as long as it's something that you can eat.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, you might say, oh, well, I don't know what to make. Here's a list of things I can't have. You know,
right,
like
exactly.
I love pasta with tomato sauce, but during chemo treatment, no. You know,
yeah.
So maybe grandma's lasagna might not be good. But if you bring, you know, something else, maybe some spaghetti with noodles, or, you know, like if you have a list prepared, or like you said,
right.
I'll go shopping for you and get something, or... Even if it's something like, you know what, you've been inside all day, how about we just go for a ride?
Perfect, yes.
You know?
Or Becky had a friend who literally every Friday morning when the new movies were going to be released on Friday, they would talk about what movie they were going to, and they would go to a matinee.
That's awesome.
Again, just to get out, have something to look forward to. She could talk about the cancer or not.
Mm-hmm.
I remember just wanting to be normal. You know, I didn't want to talk about cancer anymore. And I'd talked till I was blue, and I'd thought about it till I was dead. I mean, literally. And you know, so I think it's really important to understand that you don't have to know what to say to somebody about their cancer.
Well, you don't have to talk about it at all. And I think when people, at least for me, when people called and they'd be like, that voice, oh, how are you? Like, okay, well, I'm not, you know,
a foot the pity look.
Yeah, I'm not a foot in the grave, but, you know, I wanted to hear about their day. I didn't, you know.
Exactly.
You're the 10th person that I've talked to about my cancer, and my head was about to go explode. You know, it's like, tell me, you know, how you're, you know, about your coworker, or, you know, like, let's go on that walk, or tell me about your, show me a cat video, I don't know, something.
Yeah, exactly. Something to make me laugh, something to get my head out of. Yeah, it just, you just need to have a diversion because, you know, your world is pretty full of cancer. So, yeah, something else would be helpful. So, long story short, we started Breast Friends. We realized that Breast Friends was not just teaching the friends and family, but also supporting the woman who's going through it.
Right.
So, we have programs from date of diagnosis all the way through treatment. But then I think what's really important is many years after, because the way our medical systems have progressed in the last, say, 15 years since Breast Friends has been around, they're doing a much better job with dealing with their emotional stability while they're going through treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But when that doctor says, okay, yay, you're done with treatment, I'll see you in 3 months, then your earth kind of shatters.
Yeah, you kind of feel like the baby bird just kicked out of the nest. And it's like, okay, fly.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And then
and you don't know if you can fly or not.
Exactly.
And in fact, you're really doubting it.
Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective, you've minimized your emotions for your friends and families for all those months.
Right.
And all of a sudden, all of that's kind of rushing back. And now you feel like your security blanket or your safety net has just been yanked out from underneath you. And now you're kind of feeling like you're having to do this all alone.
And you're bald for the most part.
And you're bald, yeah. maybe your hair's come back a little bit.
Not enough.
That's the thing that the friends and family need to understand. Just because the hair's coming back doesn't mean you're done.
Right, exactly.
Because you've got a lot to still process. Many times we have lingering side effects that just can stay with us for many, many months or even forever.
Right.
I know some of the ladies that I'm working with, you know, they have the neuropathy, the tingling in their feet and their hands and the numbness. And, you know, sometimes they're stuck with that forever. And so if you're waiting around to live your life when you feel back to normal, you're going to be waiting a long time. So it's really important to kind of figure out what you can do with the here and now and figure out, you know, how I can move forward. And that's one of the programs and the kind of the premise of the book that I'm writing is about thriving beyond cancer, you know, figuring out, you know, what you can do and what you have control over and move forward. So,
and what you don't have control over, because that's the hard part.
So true, because we would hope we have a lot more control than we really do.
Well, and the thing, like you said, you were diagnosed in 1993. I was diagnosed in 2007. They've come a long way even since I was diagnosed 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I had to ask for a nutritionist.
Like
they're like, you want a nutritionist? And even, you know, the hospital I was treated at was kind of sparse. And, you know, I'm an internet freak. So I looked online and found like better foods to eat and whatnot. But, you know, if you don't get that at your hospital or at your cancer center, then, you know, look online, find it, your own nutritionist, go to your organization, Breast Friends, and be like, I need help with, you know, figuring out what to eat, or like you said, now I'm done with treatment. What do I do now? I still don't feel normal. And I had that problem too, because my hair took a long time to grow back. Like I felt like it took forever, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow? It doesn't. So
it's not.
It's not, you know?
Yeah.
And And I just felt like people were like, you look great. And, you know, you look never better. And I was turning around to see who they were talking to. And I'm like, are you talking to me? Because I...
Yeah.
But
I'm
yeah,
not
I mean,
feeling it. Here.
I'm not feeling it. And it took me a long time. And, you know, I don't think there were as many groups as... I don't think I knew about Breast Friends at the time, but I don't think there were many groups like yours at the time to help people with the transition from, you know, cancer patient to survivor to, you know, the new normal, as they call it.
To thriver, right, exactly. Right. Yeah, for some reason, that new normal term, I just don't like that. I don't know why, but it just kind of like, ugh. But to me, I guess I want to be, whether I've gone through cancer or not, mm-hmm. or whether I've gone through divorce or not, or whether I've gone through any other crisis in my life, I want to be able to live and thrive.
Right.
And so that's the word that resounds, you know, for me.
So you have a book that you're working on.
And I don't know if I'm going to use Thriving Beyond mm-hmm. For the actual title. Another one I came up with was Startled Awake, and then something about thriving, you know, beyond cancer, kind of in the subtitle. Because I think, in some respects, a cancer diagnosis is very startling, and sometimes it is that catalyst that really wakens us up to, wow, I'm not going to live forever, duh. But at the same time, because when you kind of know that, mm-hmm. it kind of spurs you on to be the best that you can be.
Yes.
And I think many women that I work with, that's one of my goals, is to have them really blossom after their cancer and really figure out what God has put them on this earth to do. You know, what they are designed to actually do in this world. And we all are given amazing gifts, and sometimes we don't use them, which is really sad.
So what do you feel your gift is, helping people?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I can take somebody who's crying and depressed and you know, hanging on by her toenails, you know, mm-hmm. and make her laugh and make her...
They're brown toenails. Right?
Yeah, sometimes they are.
That's a little tax haul joke for everybody.
But, you know, getting that person to kind of walk away from our conversation, or whether it's on the phone or in person, with hope, feeling inspired,
yes.
feeling that, you know, I can do this. I might need a few more pep talks along mm-hmm. the way, but right now I feel like, yeah, I can do this. And I laughingly tell people I make people cry because gently I really do get to the heart of the matter.
Yes.
I love that when you started your show, it's like you jumped right into it. And I'm kind of the same way. You know, I kind of jump right into the heart of the matter and you know, talk about some of those hard topics, like, yeah, this cancer may come back,
mm-hmm.
but you can't control that. So, you know, sitting around and worrying about it coming back is not really going to help you or your family or your friends,
right.
you know, live a good life. So we're going to do what we have control over, which would be like you were talking about, nutrition, you mm-hmm. know, eating the right foods, and doing a little bit of exercise and finding what your passion is.
Yes.
And that will make you happy. That will make you fulfilled.
And it's also okay to be upset. Like a lot of people.
Absolutely.
I had a hard time because the whole like hair not growing back and me not feeling the way I used to was very depressing. And it was a cancer survivor who wasn't a breast cancer survivor. And, you know, that's irrelevant. She said, you know, everybody feels like that. And it was just like, you know, it's like the light came down from heaven. I was just like, oh, it's like, what? Everybody feels like me? That's
yeah.
I had
yeah.
no idea because I felt so isolated. And, you know, because I don't think I knew about Facebook at the time, which is kind of crazy. I don't know if it.
It did, but yeah it's definitely evolved as well.
Right.
I know there's an app that I got involved in from a helping perspective. It's called My BC Team.
Oh.
So my breast cancer team, and, you know, it's a wonderful forum for women with breast cancer.
Awesome.
To help each other, which is wonderful. And so there's more and more of those kinds of things out mm-hmm. there. I think that the problem is when it gets negative and stays negative.
Yes.
You know, just like you were saying, you get mad, you're upset because you're not bouncing back as quickly as you want to, and how normal that really is. The dangerous part is when we stay in that kind of depressed, negative place.
Right.
I think we all need to have our pity party, you know, and
yes.
you know, if it takes a day or if it takes an hour or if it takes whatever, you need to do that. But it's when you stay there for days and days at a time that it's not healthy for you.
Exactly. And that's what, and the other thing is there are so many groups like yours, and now that there's Facebook, when I was diagnosed, I went to chat rooms, and it's just like, I'm feeling this way. And then you wait for someone to reply. And you're like,
yeah.
You know, tick, 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 and a minute feels like an hour.
Right. And not everybody. The thing is that I find it about online, and you do have to be careful of, mm-hmm. is
yes.
a lot of times the people who are out there living their life are the ones that are not on those chat rooms.
Yes.
The negative Nellies are the ones that are kind of, you know, maybe on there a little bit more, complaining or in that negative space. And so you have to be careful, because just like friends you choose in the real world, you want to make sure you're not, you know, hanging out with the Debbie Downers, you know?
Right. So let's get back to your book. I want to hear more about your book.
Well, it's based on my workshop. So let's go back to the workshop for a second. So I'm a certified life coach. And so what I did is I created the workshop and the environment for the book, talking about some of these issues that we all go through,
mm-hmm.
emotional, physical, spiritual, and number one, like you were saying, just wanting to feel normal, okay?
Right.
And the fact that, yeah, I'm not the only one that's worrying about dying, or I'm not the mm-hmm. only one worrying about, you know, my cancer coming back, or whatever, that pain I have in my hip. Is that cancer?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
I mean, those are so normal things. So going through a lot of those topics and talking about them and using a lot of survivor stories in my book to make sure that people understand that they're really not out in left field, that they're really not thinking anything that someone else hasn't been thinking about. And then in the workshop, then of course, then I give you the tools that you need from a life coaching principle to be able to figure out what it is that you want to do with the rest of your life. So we talk a lot about exercises mm-hmm. like, what would you do if you absolutely knew you could not fail?
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but you got to have priorities, right? Because
right.
we can't do everything. I even had a gal tell me one time, well, I would work for world peace. Okay, that's a great one. But, you know, you're probably not going to accomplish that all by yourself.
Right.
So connecting with an organization that's their mission is to go after world peace. Oh, okay. You know, so all of a sudden it made sense that, yes, she could actually get what her purpose was, but she didn't have to do it all by herself.
Right.
You know, I had one gal who, for whatever reason, her dream was to have a coffee shop at the beach and on the Oregon coast. Okay. Have you even told that to anybody?
Right.
Well, no, I haven't. So you start talking about your dreams, and all of a sudden other people want to help you get them.
I know, it's crazy like that when you say people will help you get your dreams. Like, excuse me, I never thought about doing a radio show like this. Quick backstory, I don't know if you know, I work at a radio station, and I was helping out with Empower when it first started, just producing shows. And the gentleman who founded Empower, he's like, I really like your blog. I like your message. Let's, you know, why don't you do a show? And I was like, gulp. But at the time, basically, that's why, because I'm the wacky sidekick on the other show that I work on. And but at the time, there were no shows out there that were focusing on the positivity. Everything was, that you saw out there was like, you know, Desperate Housewives, where one of the main characters gets cancer and they just all look sallow and sad. And, you know, and it's like, well, that's not me. You know,
right.
Sometimes I look like that. Sometimes I am like that. But it's not 100% of the time.
Right.
So I wanted to find people like you who could spread a positive message out there to someone who maybe is just diagnosed or is a caregiver who said, oh, well, that is a person that I can contact and ask about my wife or husband or friend.
Exactly.
You know, and like
that's
I said, at the time, there was nothing out there like this, maybe mm-hmm. one or two. But now I think a lot more people are realizing, well, you can't just be negative all the time. Because that's not going to do you any good. It doesn't solve anything.
No, it really doesn't help you or anybody else. And so, you know, figuring out what you have control over, which really is not a whole lot other than just you.
Right.
Just your attitude. Just how you are in the world.
Yeah, I have a friend who's going through not cancer, but she's going through another thing. And she's like, I'm really upset about everything how it's going. It's like, well, when I was going through cancer treatment, like the end of the tunnel, end of treatment was like the pinhole at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. You know, and every day the pinhole would get bigger and bigger and bigger until it was the light, you know, the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. It's like,
right.
You can't think like, oh my God, this is just the worst thing ever. It's like, okay, well, you know, you have to look at like the small victories that should overshadow like the bigger things. You know, did you lose your hair? Yes. Are you getting better? Yes. So which is more mm-hmm. important? Your hair will grow back and you're getting better.
Yeah. And it's interesting because sometimes I know because I was so young going through it, and I'm sure some of your listeners can appreciate this too, you know, and the chemo throws you into menopause. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the tamoxifen kept me in menopause. Mm-hmm. And I was probably more upset about that than I was the cancer when I got done with the actual treatments and could have some perspective, because
right.
that was kind of an ongoing problem, you know, that I had to deal with. I had hot flashes for 11 years, you know, so that was kind of a more annoying mm-hmm. thing, you know, when I figured, okay, I'm really not going to die from this, which
right.
was good, you know.
Well, and the other thing is cancer can give you other side effects. The tamoxifen gave me an endometrial benign tumor. So I had to have a hysterectomy, which I was, you know, I wasn't using it anyway,
cancer.
But yeah, but you know,
because you probably expected it to be cancer too.
The OBGYN said, I just wanted to prepare you because I've known him for a while. I live in a small town, so it wasn't like, you know, random big city hospital doctor.
Right.
He was
right.
like, I've never seen this not present itself as cancer, but obviously we won't know until the doctor removes it. And I was like, okay. And in my heart of heart, I knew it wasn't cancer. My fiance was like,
oh, good.
He was freaking out. Like, I could see the beads of sweat forming on his forehead again. And I was
right.
And they're like, I can't believe you're so calm. It's like, well, you know, your results aren't the final definitive thing. So,
yeah.
And it's not like I was using my uterus or ovaries anyway, so.
Well, and that's one of the things that I really do try to stress with people is when you go in for your annual, for instance, or you go mm-hmm. in for a test because you have a weird pain or something. Of course, our tendency is to go to the negative, go mm-hmm. to, oh my gosh, what is it, you know, kind of thing.
Scans
and just assume it's probably cancer. But at the same time, I find that what ends up really happening is we don't have any control over that. But if we try really hard not to go to that negative space mm-hmm. until we actually know that, yep, this is something I have to deal with. When my friend Becky was diagnosed, she's actually gone through it three times.
Oh.
So she's got quite a story too.
Yeah.
But when she was diagnosed the second time, I remember her calling me from the parking lot saying, yep, it's cancer. You know how we always have said that nothing's worse than getting cancer diagnosis other than getting it again, right?
Right.
And she said, you know what? It's really not even true. She said, at least the second time, you know what to expect. You know you kicked its butt the first time, and you're going to do it the next time.
Wow.
So that fear of the unknown, of that treatment, that kind of stuff, isn't as bad. So now, granted,
not recommended, however.
Not recommended. We don't want to have to go through it a second or third time like she did.
No.
Now, in her third diagnosis, unfortunately, it did say it was consistent with metastatic disease. And, of course, that's the line you don't really want to cross. But luckily, she's had PET scans now for the last 6 years, and she has no evidence of disease. So she's in good shape.
Awesome.
At this point. But again, it is scary. There's no question about it. But it is interesting if you, like in her case, she had cancer on one side, and then 8 years later, a brand new cancer showed up on the other breast. And it had nothing to do with the first cancer diagnosis.
You're like, thanks a lot.
Yeah, and exactly. She was just, hotbed for that, I guess.
And just
lucky
like that,
girl.
Sharon, I know, we're so happy that she's still with us today. Just
yeah,
like that, Sharon, the half hour is over. Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
So if people want to get a hold of you, breastfriends.org is the best way to do so.
Yep. And Sharon at breastfriends.org gets to me directly. Yep.
Excellent. And you're going to keep me in the loop when your book comes out?
I would love that. Thank you.
Yes, because then we'll have you on the show. We'll talk about that and put that out there also.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your help.
Oh, you're very welcome, Sharon. If you want to hang on, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mel Majoris. I'm the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Check out my website, thecancerwarrior.net. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's the Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.